Well, John 15, now, you'll think to yourself, some of you are thinking to yourself, I thought we were going to talk about the helper this week, because that's what I said last week. Well, Chris of last week was stupid. And as I looked through the text, I decided to push the latter half of John chapter 14, well, really the last few verses, to John chapter 16. We're going to talk about it all at once, because Jesus talks a lot about the work of the helper in John chapter 16. So I've moved the last few verses of John chapter 14. I'm just going to lump them in with that when we get to John chapter 16. So this week, let's begin with Vine Plants 101. Things you never thought that there would be in a sermon. This is a vine plant. Now, this is a grape specifically. You can see the little grapes. Now, why are we talking about this? This analogy, Jesus is the vine, and vine language is actually used in several places in the New Testament. Now, for us, raise your hand if you are really into agriculture. One person, two people, really into agriculture. So most of us, let's be honest, I, until the studying for this lesson, did not really think about vine plants very much. I don't know that I'd ever really thought about vine plants. Like, it's not a thing that had ever entered my brain. So when Scripture uses these analogies, maybe it would be good for us to have some idea of what the thing is that the analogy is about, right? So this is a vine plant, and we have the graft, the trunk, and the graft union, where they would add other plants to the plant. And this is in Romans 11. You'll see in the guided devotional, Paul talks about being grafted in. That's what this is, that the plant was grafted to another plant. So you have the root system, obviously, and the nutrients go woo all the way up through. And so you have the shoots and the canes that would eventually have the grapes, hopefully. Now, again, in Romans chapter 11, he talks about some shoots and some canes and some different groups of people. So again, this analogy is not just in this particular section. And then hopefully, if the nutrients are going through the trunk, through the vine, this would be the vine. This part right here would be the vine. If the nutrients are going through the vine, it's going to the branches, through the shoots and the arms, and then the grapes will come out. That's what he's talking about in John chapter 15. We'll come back to this as we go through. And like I said, this analogy is not just used here, but when we talk about Jesus the vine, or the people of God are talked about as a vine tree several times in Scripture. And this is what they're talking about when they talk about that. So let's read the text, John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So, again, what are we talking about here? Oops, I went too far. The branch is here. Every branch, that would be us. We are the branches, right? Every branch, let's see. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, actually, and let's focus on this verse. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what does that mean? Because I'm still doing stuff, right? Even the lost in the world, they're creating and building skyscrapers and having kids and doing all sorts of stuff. You can do nothing of spiritual benefit. That's what he's saying. You can have no spiritual benefit unless you are abiding in me. Apart from me, there is no spiritual benefit to be had. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, if God is the vine dresser, right? My Father is the vine dresser, the pruner, the one who determines, is this branch doing what it should? Nah, it needs to be cut off. Or, and in Romans 11, the discussion of the grafting in, here's this other plant that I'm going to include in the tree so that it can produce fruit too. That's what is in Romans 11, which you'll see more in the guided devotional. So if the tree is bearing fruit and it's thriving and it's doing well, who gets the glory? The one who pruned and was the vine dresser, right? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, we can see the chain, right? From the Father to the Son to us. I've talked about this already very much in John chapter 14 and 15, that it flows from the Father to His creation via Jesus. We abide, and going up the chain, right, there's commandments to be followed along each step back to the Father. Now, the Father doesn't have to obey anything because He is the originator of all commands, but He gave Jesus commands and He followed, therefore Jesus was unified with the Father, and Jesus gives us commands and we follow them, and therefore we're unified with the Son, and it goes back up the chain, right? Where were we? These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. For all that you have heard, I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command so that you will love one another. Whew, a lot of text. As we read this text, there's some overwhelming points, right? There's some commonalities. The word abide, how many times is the word abide? And as we think about abiding, unity with Jesus, this idea of being with Him, the word abide, to live with, to be a part of, abiding with Jesus, unity with Jesus is not free. It is not unconditional. We have to bear fruit, right? That is a requirement of abiding in Him. And we come back to the tree analogy, the vine plant analogy. You see a branch on a tree or a plant that is not bearing fruit, what does the vine dresser do? Chops it off so that the tree may produce fruit in a different place. So that that branch that is not producing fruit is not taking the resources and the nutrients and not doing anything with them. You chop it off so that the nourishment that would have been going to that branch, therefore, will go to the other branches that are producing fruit. Unity with Jesus is not free. 15:2. Every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, there's interesting things here. There's the level of the individual. I think individually we're branches, right? I'm a branch, you're a branch, everyone's a branch. But there's also, I think, the corporate level, the congregational level, because I think as a congregation, we are a branch. The Dewey Church of Christ is a branch of the tree, just like the Adams Church or the Legacy Church or any church that is following God's ways, right, would be a branch of this tree. So this branch, the Dewey branch, I think God prunes in a corporate sense too, that some of us in this congregation may be sucking some resources and not producing any fruit. And maybe something needs to be done about that. I think Paul would have much to say about that. So there's the individual level, but I think there's also the corporate level. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. When is this going to happen? I think this happens now, right? When Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 5 about delivering such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that's the branch being cut off then and thrown out then. But ultimately, right, this is thinking, and the fire analogy is very poignant. Because isn't this ultimately referring to the end when all things are judged and God decides, well, this branch didn't do anything, this branch produced no fruit, into the fire it goes. But as long as we persist, while we may be cut off from the church from a time, we may be cut off from the source, the vine, Jesus, for a time, until the end, until we've died, we have not been thrown in the fire. We still could be added back in. And that's part of his point in Romans 11. So the whole discussion begs two questions of prime importance. Two questions that we have to answer if we are going to take this text to heart, if we're going to use this text in our lives. Number one, what is the fruit that we are to bear? How can I know, based on the results of my life, that I'm abiding in Jesus, that the things in my life that I'm producing are what Jesus wants? What is the fruit that I'm to bear? Matthew 12, 33 through 37. We're going to look at four different passages. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Raise your hand if you use some careless words this week. Don't lie. Everybody's hand should be up. I know, because you're human, that you are not very intentionally and thoughtfully crafting all of your words this week. Like, the effort required to that is so immense, but isn't that what we're asked to do? He will bring, what does he say? We will give an account for every careless word. That's a little scary. It's a little frightening. And it's a heavy responsibility. We keep reading, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. One element of the fruit that we are producing is good words. Words that lift up. Words that encourage. Words that are truthful. Words that inspire. Words that maybe at times rebuke. Words that bring people closer to God. However that may need to happen. That in times is going to be rebuking. Sometimes is going to be encouraging. Sometimes is going to be instruction, right? That might be a good word. But our words would be some of that fruit. The things that we say, and again, the point that Jesus is making, unless you abide in him, your words will not be beneficial to the kingdom. Jesus wants us to have good and fruitful words. Number two, John 4, 35 through 38. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. What is he talking about here? This eternal fruit. Isn't this talking about souls? About people? And the end is particularly interesting, right? One sows, another reaps, and you've reaped things that others labored for. When we bring people to Christ, a lot of times, most of the work in that person's life was done by somebody else, right? Maybe it was their parents. Maybe it was somebody in a different congregation. Maybe it was somebody where they used to live. Very few people just show up in our lives with no understanding at all of spiritual things. But that harvest, those who are ready to be gathered, right, gathering fruit for eternal life, is the people. The field that we have been sent into is the lost. The world that is full of lost people that need to be brought into a relationship with God, that is the fruit that we would be reaping. And it's not just me doing it by myself. In the text, I like this text for one. One of the reasons I like this text is it reminds me that I'm not doing all the work by myself, that I am benefiting in this labor of love from the work of all of you. And you're benefiting from my work, and maybe we're benefiting from the work of other people that we don't even know anything about. But if we're gathering fruit and bearing fruit, part of that's going to be more branches. Now, the analogy sort of breaks down here, right? The analogy is not perfect because it's an analogy. It's not a description of reality. But part of the fruit that we bear is other people coming to him through our influence, bringing others to Jesus. Number three, Galatians 5:20. This one's pretty self-explanatory. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I mean, you can look at this list and see, are you loving? Are you joyful? Are you patient? Do you have peace? Like, you can just tell. Right, you know, you can tell in your life. Now, these things fluctuate up and down and up and down and up and down, but these are the things as we live lives in the Spirit. If we, he goes on to say, let us walk in the Spirit. As we live lives in the Spirit, these are the things that we should see in our lives, in our attitudes, and this would be the fruit of the heart, right? That we love, that we have joy, that we have peace, that we're gentle, that we're self-controlled. These would be some of the things that would say, oh, we are doing the thing that God wants. Oh, we are abiding in Jesus. Oh, we are receiving nourishment from the vine. because I see these things as a result in my life. Finally, Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of life, light is found in all that is good and right and true. Well, here we go, an all-encompassing thing. What is the fruit that we're to bear? That which is good and right and true. Now, that's a, it's almost so broad as to be practically meaningless. There's a lot of things that go into that, right? We can see it in the contrast, though. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Well, that would be another definition, right? The fruit that we are to bear. What is the fruit that we're to bear? Things that are pleasing to the Lord. That we do things that are pleasing to Him. We say things that are pleasing to Him. We think things that are pleasing to Him. We feel things that are pleasing to Him. And we influence others in a way that is pleasing to Him. As opposed to what? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Those things that are contrary to God, those things are displeasing to God, those things that don't bear fruit. Don't take part in those things. Don't do those things. Because as we know, only those that bear fruit will be allowed to remain on the vine. Second question, how then can we bear that fruit? And this is, I think, the crux of the discussion in John 15, at least, and the rest of the text will be from John 15, as Jesus explains to his disciples, how will they do that? How will they bear this fruit? And as we think about this picture, right, the nourishment that comes through up to the branches that produces the fruit, that comes from the vine, right? The nourishment, the energy, the things that are required to produce the fruit comes from the vine. And ultimately from, I think, the Father in the analogy. We're sort of mixing metaphors now. Number one, we bear fruit for prayer. 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in my Father, the Father in my name, he may give it to you. One of the ways that we bear fruit for Jesus is through prayer. Not prayer for the Lamborghini. Is the Lamborghini a fruit that is pleasing to Jesus? No, probably not. It's not for the big house. It's not for the et cetera, et cetera. But again, asking in my name, if you abide in my word, what does it say? If my words abide in you, what is that going to do? Isn't that going to affect what we pray for? What are we going to pray for? Well, one of the things we might pray for is people that I can influence and bring to Jesus. Have you ever prayed for that? Have you ever asked God, God, please put somebody in my life that I can share the gospel with, that I can teach your word? I think that would be a thing to pray for. We could pray for love and joy and peace and patience. That's a thing we could pray for. God, fill my heart with those attitudes and those thoughts. We could pray for the right words to speak, couldn't we? God, help me to say the right things and to not say that which is displeasing to you. These are things that we could pray for, and if we are believing in Jesus, we will believe that He will indeed answer those prayers. It's just a question of how much you believe that. Bearing fruit through obedience, number 2, 15:3-4, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Why were they clean? Because the word he had spoken to them, right? 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So much of the discussion revolves around us letting the word permeate every facet of our lives, letting the word be absorbed into our hearts and our minds so that it shapes and determines our actions, because we are not determining our own course. We're not setting our own path, but we are following the path that He has set for us through His Word. It's not, and in some ways I think that's sort of relieving, right? I don't have to make up my journey as I go. I don't have to wonder what things I should be doing. It's all laid out for me. I can just read it and absorb it and use it in my life. and let those things affect my behavior, and let my behavior be determined not by my own will, but by the will of Jesus, which alternatively came through the Father, right? The will of Jesus is the will of the Father. So as we think about bearing fruit, we're going to bear fruit because we do the things that Jesus said to do. It's not complicated. Now, it's not easy, but it's not complicated either. Number three, bearing fruit through love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's 15:12. 15:17. These things I command you so that you will love one another. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? Though I speak in the tongue of men and angels, though I offer my body to be burned, though I can speak every tongue and have faith as to move mountains, if I have not love, it's meaningless. Profits me nothing. Bearing fruit, we bear that fruit through the love that we have for one another. That I am saying the things that I say, bearing fruit in my words because I love you and I want my words to be beneficial to you. Right? That I'm reaching out to the lost and I see those who need to be brought to Jesus and I do so because I love them and I love their souls and I love them the way God loves them and I want them to have that relationship with God that I have. That as I try to shape my life into the image of His Son and I'm trying to obey and I'm trying to do the things that Jesus wants, I do that because I love Jesus. And I know that this behavior will be beneficial to those around me who I also love. Love is the way we bear fruit. That we choose to put the will of Jesus and the benefit of others ahead of ourselves. Isn't that what this love is? That we choose what is best for the other person? That is how we are going to bear fruit. The question is simple that we'll end with. Are there tangible results in your life that could only have come through a connection with Jesus? I tried to figure out a better way to ask it, and I couldn't really think of one. As you consider your life, your words, your actions, your attitudes, the people that you're influencing, the people that you have in your lives, are there things in your life that could only have come because of your relationship with Jesus? And that's the key, right? The fruit that comes not because I made good choices or not because of anything anybody else did, but the fruit that comes because I abide in the vine. Because I'm connected to Jesus specifically. And if there's nothing in your life that you can only trace back to your connection with Jesus, you are not bearing fruit. And you're probably not abiding in the vine. There has to be stuff in our lives that can only be explained by our relationship with our Savior. And that's going to require some self-evaluation. That's going to require us to be intentional and thoughtful about our lives, to think about the things that we're doing, and to take inventory. I've said this so many times about being intentional about taking inventory of our lives and thinking about the things we say and do and the way we act and the way we think, and asking yourself if that could have come only through Jesus. And if the answer is no, it's going to require some changes probably, right? Jesus demands some changes in our lives, that we are shaped into His image. And so the question is, again, simple. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. And as you consider this, I really hope that you will make those changes necessary to bear fruit, to be fruitful in the kingdom. Raise your hand if you would like to be the only one bearing fruit. Nobody would. I was really thinking somebody would raise their hand there. Nobody wants to be the only one, right? And that's not the design. The design is that we will all bear fruit together. Because isn't that easier? Oh, man. If I'm the only one bearing fruit, you guys are in trouble, right? The kingdom is in trouble if it's just me. God has designed it in such a way that everyone has valuable fruit. Everyone has a part to play. And maybe you don't know what your part is. Maybe you're confused about that. Maybe you don't know where you fit in. We can help you with that. We want you to be fruitful, and we want you to bear fruit, and we want to help you figure out how to do that. So if that's the question you have, we want to answer it. And if you're not connected to the vine, if you're not abiding in Jesus, let me remind you once more that the fire is coming. And I'd really like all of the branches in this room to avoid that fire.